The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey, everybody. This is Jay Young, King Operating. You know, today we have another special guest, one of the most successful entrepreneurs in the Dallas area. We're going to talk about the adversity that he had to overcome to get where he is today. And it was a family business at first, and he spread out, and all of a sudden he's been on several awards and all over. He went to school at Baylor, went to school at TCU. TCU's the first. He's a purple man before he is anything else deep down. He went to SMU, also went to Oxford, several businesses. Today, I want to introduce you to Bill Shattuck. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Jay. It's a great day, and it's a day for opportunity for the people that are listening to our broadcast. It's the first day of the rest of their life, and it makes me excited for them.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, the other day, I heard something. I was looking at social media or something, and this lady said, you know, you only die once. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, you know, I thought it was you only live once, but it's really you only die once, which is true. I mean, it is. You only die once. I like that. And as a matter of fact, I texted her back and I said, hey, do you mind if I use that? Because that's really great. I like that because, you know, we're here on life once and we want to make sure that we make the best of it and make the big differences. And Bill, you definitely have. I mean, you've made a tremendous amount of differences in your life. And we want to talk about all your successes. We want to talk about your philanthropy and the things that you and Kim do. First off, let's go back to Little Shattuck. Let's go back to before Bill knew anything or what before. I mean, him and his brother grew up. Where did you grow up and kind of how did you get started? Kind of go through the story of yourself.
All right, Jay. Well, I grew up in Orange, Texas, which is near Beaumont down southeast Texas, kind of where the Gulf of Mexico meets the Sabine River. My dad was a doctor. He worked lots of hours. He was from Beaumont originally, went into World War II, came out. There was no medical doctor's offices and went to Orange, but ultimately with the idea of going back to Beaumont, but ended up staying 35 years. And I grew up there. It was a great town. Everybody's somebody in my hometown. As it turns out, I was one of the just everybody's a somebody in my hometown. And so I turned out to be a somebody, right?
Right.
So I was there for 18 years, graduated from high school, played sports, enjoyed the outdoors, the rivers, and the greatness that is East Texas, and ended up going to TCU, getting a degree in business, left there and went to SMU, got an MBA, ultimately then graduated there and went to Baylor Law School. Came to Dallas, worked with a downtown law firm, and ultimately came a decision one day that I would rather make a deal than document a deal. Left there and joined my brother in the real estate business. He then was a large builder back in the 80s. He was more building and I got and did some developing. So started developing subdivisions out north.
So this is Peter, right?
Yeah, Peter, my brother. I lived down on Mockingbird Parkway and ultimately the business and all of us kind of moved north with the idea that this is where a family or business was going to be. I tell people down in University Park, I said, haven't developed one subdivision in University Park, not one in Island Park, but just started developing the northern growth area here and probably we've developed 75 subdivisions over 30 years.
And wow.
Kept hitting them, just, you know, like a lot of things. You just keep on doing the next one before you know it.
Wow. Two a year, a couple a year, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Starting two or three a year. I asked your brother one time. He's a neighbor of mine, obviously, you know that. But I asked him one time, I said, how many subdivisions have y'all done? He goes, well, I mean, nobody's counting, but 75, you know. Knew exactly how many. Now, which one of you could tell me exactly how much it cost? I mean, from the penny to the dirt to the streets to the – is one of y'all better at that than the other?
I make deals for a living. I'll tell you what I do for a living. I'm really in I build relationships and make deals for a living.
Right.
I motivate people. I encourage people. I give people vision. I have a knack for making a deal. And it really goes much beyond the businesses that I'm involved in. It's all a series of relationships.
So the details are not really your cup of tea. I mean, details in.
I'm not in the operations department.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, okay, day to day. Yeah, that's great. You're the visionary.
Well, I make the deal.
Yeah.
Everything starts with the deal. If there's a deal, you got nothing to do. I would be the person, hopefully, that would bring in the business, to bring in the deal. And that's when it all starts happening.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
When you start going off is when you got something, it's on. So I see myself in a slightly different role than a title expert or development expert. Peter, really, of us, understands the core construction business. And I don't spend much time at all with it.
That's great. I mean, you know your strengths.
That's not what I do for a living.
Yeah. You know your strengths and weaknesses, and you don't want to dive into that because all of a sudden it just everything is fuzzy and that's not your deal. And that's why you have so many companies. That's why you're so successful with all these different conglomerates that you have, is because you're the thinker on the outside, the visionary, and thinking this and then putting the right people in place. You know, what is it about the relationships? Let's finish up the development, but tell me about the hardest deal that you ever put together, the easiest deal you ever put together in 75 different developments. I mean, just kind of, can you walk me through the easiest one or the hardest one or the thing you remember the most about one deal?
I remember when I started, there's a famous expression, Jay, by the Army. And the expression is, I'm only one, but I am one.
All right.
Because at one time, my business was only one. It was me.
Right.
And Peter had been in had been in the development business, but he was actively building, and I guess most of his time. So the first deal I put under contract, I couldn't get anybody to come out as an engineer to analyze the deal. I had no bank. Peter had some money, but obviously I didn't have any money. So I won't say it was the hardest deal, but your first of anything is something I didn't fully understand. I mean, I understand the one-page financials. My rule is one page, one meeting. How many pages do you have to talk about? Two pages? Well, we're going to go ahead and have to schedule two meetings for that. And I told my son at one time, I said, William, it doesn't make someone look smart to make something very difficult, to tell someone how difficult something is. I said, a smart person makes something very difficult very easy to be understood. In fact, when I was in law school, we were talking about the most academic of subjects, which is an appellate law brief. And the professor said that if you can't take that appellate brief, go into a diner in Waco, Texas, sit down next to a guy and explain it to him while he's sitting there, and he doesn't understand it, you don't understand it, you're not going to be able to do a good job.
Wow.
You don't understand what you're trying to sell or trying to sell the court on. So we put it on one page. It's understandable to me. And I understand that. I understand what's coming in and what's going to happen. And if that happens, what's coming out?
Wow. That's
all there is to it, bud.
That's great. That's great. Let's get back to that one development. The one, I mean, so when you go out and look for land, I mean, this is, there's 75 of them, North Dallas. So, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of different developments that you put together. What about the Polo Grounds or the ones that are at across from Lakeside? What was there one deal that was the hardest to put together?
Well, they're all a challenge because most of them don't work on paper when you get them.
Right, right. Okay.
So the first out of the box is the deal doesn't work. So you got to figure out how to make it work. But my experience has led me, let's just say that I think I'm a resourceful person. The one across from Lakeside ultimately started out with a drug forfeiture from one of the members of the Harrington family.
Wow.
And he basically got caught. He was letting people store. Well, he had a truck out there with marijuana in it. It wasn't his, but it was part of, anyway, he lost his future interest, which I discovered in a courthouse in Tyler, Texas, with the Department of Drug Administration, and offered to buy that interest because fortuitously, he owned an undivided one quarter interest in a life, not a life estate, but in a residual. Basically, you had a guy with a life estate, but if you had the residuary, but you owned a quarter interest in every square foot, if you're starting to get the idea here. It wasn't you sold a quarter, you own a quarter of everything. So I parlayed that with Mary Lou Harrington and some of her sisters and relatives into being able to purchase the whole thing. Because as it turned out, they couldn't sell without me. I think they caught on after a while, but I quickly went from I to we. We. And I think they, after a while, got the idea that we were in it together. And it's been a lot of fun.
Different. Yeah. Well, I tell you, taking land, just taking a piece of land and going, okay, so we're going to build these houses and put these roads in and the sewage and getting with the cities and everything. That's fascinating, in my opinion. You know, in the oil and gas business, we kind of do the same thing with the oil rigs and getting oil rigs in different places and having to drill wells. But you know, with real estate, I mean, you're dealing with people in their homes. So what is there one that's the most successful? What's the most successful development you did? You remember that one?
Well, I'll be honest with you. They're all pretty successful. I'll start with that. We've had some issues where lots weren't selling at a given time, but certainly the Creeks of Willow Bend is a big winner. It just went great. Shattuck Park is a property we purchased and are currently developing from the Brinkman Estate, Brinkman Ranch up in Frisco. And that's going to be very, very successful. There's always something hard. Sometimes it's hard to sell the lot. Sometimes it's hard to get the land. Sometimes it's hard to get the land at a price you can make a profit developing. But there's always a fly in the ointment, right, Jay?
Right.
It never quote, totally works. There's always a fly in the ointment, and your job is to find it and fix it.
Absolutely. I mean, to get Bremen to sell, how many years did that take?
Years, and it's not a typical seller. I would have to agree with that.
Yeah, it took him a long time. I mean, I know you asked.
Yeah, it's hard to get those legacy properties.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be a home run for you. I know it will be, though. That's great. That's great. Hey, so is there anything that you would have done different before you went to college? Is there anything you had done? Yeah, and let's still say high school because that's a long way to go. Is there anything you had done different in college? Different courses, or did you take the right path? Were you where you got a business degree from TCU and then went on SMU. Is there anything that you have done different?
Not really. I think a law degree is great. At that time, Jay, I kind of knew I had a bias against large corporations because in my hometown, it was a petrochemical town and there was lots of big corporations. And I never believed that. I thought it was industry and profits first rather than people first. And they would move people around indiscriminately to various places. So I vowed that I would never want to work at a big corporation like that. And when I went to TCU, it seemed that the business school there was intent on developing future leaders for large corporations, Johnson & Johnson, you name it. But I knew then I wanted to be an entrepreneur or have a business. And at that time, SMU, among the schools where I was going for an MBA, was the only one that offered a program which was more entrepreneurial in nature. They're all entrepreneurial today. It's hot, but it used to not be. So I found out about it. I was accepted to UT, had a graduate school of business, and they went down there and met with the guy there. He was saying, learning about logistics and things of that sort. And I thought, I'll be at a big corporation if I go to school here. I went to SMU and they said, if you come here, we'll teach you how to make a deal. I said, let's go. And my parents agreed to pay for my education as long as I was receiving it. None after, but they'd support me while I went to school. So I went, well, I kind of like college. So I went and got a law degree immediately thereafter.
Right.
And I thought they were all good training.
Good.
So I have no regrets.
Great. That's awesome. So what motivated you to be an entrepreneur? What is that something that you and your brother just thought this thing up, or what kind of, is your brother older than you?
He is. He's 10 years older.
All right. 10 years older.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So he's older and so he got you in the home, but you guys, he does the home business and you guys both do the development. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, let me explain. Peter always did some developing, but I would say that he emphasized I practiced law and he said, come out here. I want to do development. And so I took the bait. And so I was more the designated deal finder, deal maker, and developer. And for sure, he was all into the building. So I built none, and he got somewhat involved and has over the years in the development business. And he actually understands the real act of developing a piece of property better than do I. But I was in it for the deal. I'm always in it for the deal.
Right. Okay. Great. That's great. So, is there anything that, I know that we talked a minute ago about your business and how well it's done. And I know there's been some ups and downs, and you say that about adversity, and which we talked about before we came on, but anything major in dealing with the pains? I mean, you know, we're in the oil and gas business. So obviously when oil goes to minus $37 a barrel, there's a little bit of a pain there. Is there anything that, any adversity that, what's the biggest adversity you've ever had to get over, I guess?
Well, in 1988 to 90, it used to bust out. The market busted out. So in 88, every bank in Texas except for two went broke. It was a ridiculous time. Everybody in the business went broke, busted out. It was like every oil guy in Texas went out, completely out. And lawsuits and everybody had gotten into the joint, going to the savings and loan business. And they came in and they were all upside down. And they put a lot of those people in jail. And it had been just like a roaring 20s in the 80s. And all of a sudden the party ended. I mean, it ended with the RTC. So I looked around, Jay, at that time and went, you know, there were all these banks here are going out of business, like Folsom's going out of business and all these people are going out of business. You don't think, oh, Shattuck Boys here might go out of business, do you? I thought, no, that of course, that would be impossible. But truthfully, everything you own became worth 10 or 15% of its previous value. And many of the things had loans on them. But then I made a very peaceful discovery. My peace and joy, Jay, was not in, and my future was not in Shattuck Homes or Shattuck Building development. It was my skills and abilities, my God-given skills and abilities. And I knew that as long as I had those, I was never gonna walk, because I had been blessed with skills and abilities that I could use with a resourceful mind to create opportunities for myself and others. So I was like, okay, I'll ride it out, whatever comes, comes. And immediately in the 90s, I hadn't taken on any debt. So I had the knowledge and I saw the opportunity that Dallas presented. And it's where it really started good things happening. And about that time, a little prior to that, I'd started a mortgage company and a title company, the attorney office. So they were there, but they're very small at that time. And but the big hit back in 2009, 2010, and 2011, the Great Recession, that really was a mess, because all the banks again went broke, or a number of them, and the banks ended up being owned by the government. It was just a total mess, and that was US-wide. The first one in the late 80s was more Texas and Southwest oriented, but the last one, that was the whole industry across the nation. Very difficult, but we made it out. We made it.
Yeah. That's great. Congratulations on that. I mean, to have a mortgage business, a title business, and a development company, I mean, that is great. I mean, you're diversifying out. It's all, you know, interlocked with the real estate business, you know, pretty much. But I'll tell you what, it's something that you have done an incredible job on, staying on top of it and keeping everything going. So you have three kids, right?
I do.
And they all work in the business.
They do.
I had lunch with your son, William, and yourself a few months back, but that was William, right?
Right. He's the oldest. And then I've got a son, Andrew, and a daughter, Caroline.
Okay, great, great. Good job. And I've only met William, but I mean, a smart guy. I like him a lot. And a great. He's got a lot of his dad in him, no question about it.
Well, William and Andrew are now working more in the development business, and I'm really working more in the title insurance business. We have, in addition to that, about 8 years ago, I started what is now the ninth largest title insurance underwriter in the United States, called First National. And I really spend my time with Capital Title, Shattuck National. We have people that, and I have somebody that runs it as well, that very much operates the business. But William and Andrew are more running the development company today.
Now, right. Well, that's great. What do you look for in people when you interview them? I mean, you built these businesses, but you didn't do everything yourself. I mean, you had to have great relationships and great employees that have helped you, you know, build these businesses up for you. What do you look for in people? Well, how could I impress you if I was interviewing for a job as president of Shattuck National and I said, man, here I come. What do you look for in people?
Uh, I look for people that are trying to create their ultimate success. And that is that are not satisfied with being merely successful. I look for people that can build relationships, that like people, that are people first people. You know, sometimes we're just, I look for deal makers. I don't look for fortune. I don't look for top-down people, management type people. Manage yourself. Go make a deal, bud. I'm looking for deal makers, confident people who want to give it a go and who express confidence in themselves and their abilities to create success for themselves and for others. People are most important to me. That have a strong ambition.
Gotcha. Good. Well, I tell you what, I'm reading the book. You know, for $7, you can buy Sam Walton's book, Made in America. And I was on a listening to a podcast the other day, and this guy said, "Well, how much money would you spend to have lunch with Sam Walton or learn more about Sam?" I was like, "Well, I mean, the guy's been dead for a while, but." He said, you know, you can go on this, you can go on Amazon and buy his book for $7, you know, and so I've read it. And he would pick 9 out of 10 leaders. I mean, you can't pick them all, but you can have them take incredible amounts of tests, and he would not have anybody take tests or anything. He would just meet with them, talk to them. That's probably the ability you have. You probably have that same ability to be able to pick that out of people and say, hey, you know what? I like this guy. This guy's, he's good. He's got a good heart. He cares. He wants to, he's committed. He wants to see the job done. That's why I like Eagle Scouts, you know, because Eagle Scouts are something that, you know, you finish something. Why do you like a college graduate? Because they finished. You know, it's not like they started and didn't finish for whatever reason. They started and finished. Eagle Scout started and finished. Same thing with a lot of things that I'm sure that you do as well. So that's great. So let me ask you this. I don't want to take up a lot more of your time. I know you're busy running all those big, huge businesses you have. But what is it that you strive for? What is the next goal for you? Have you ever written a book?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you need to write a book. I mean, I would love to have, and I think it's a great legacy for your kids and grandkids and so forth. Number one, and I'm not trying to blow smoke. I'm just saying that to hear, I just got off an interview with James Webb, and James wrote a book called Redneck Resilience, right? So Redneck Resilience, written by James Webb. I don't know if you know James Webb or not, but he did the Orange Theory here in town, and he did imaging and all this, but from Mississippi, incredibly successful, and talks about resilience. And he said, I said, you didn't write this book to brag about yourself. You wrote this book because you wanted people to see your journey, because it's not easy. You know, and he's had, read his book, but he's had several setbacks, which I know you have too. But it's good to, his book was so transparent, it felt like that you were there with him, you know, walking along the journey or being with him and his wife. His ex-wife, or his wife died from cancer.
Sorry.
You know, and tumor, and it didn't stop him for very long. He knew what she really wanted, and just a great relationship and great, great, great guy. But you need to do the same thing. What's next? What's next for the Shattuck family? Tell us what's next.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Creating a national title company is on my horizon. Basically, in my business now, everybody I compete with is either a hedge fund or publicly held company. And so you more or less have, we're a debt-free company. We create opportunities. We have great operating businesses. And I'm going to try to take this all the way as far as you can go on a national basis. That's why we're currently in the market buying companies in different locations across the United States. So we compete every day with Fortune 500 companies and hedge funds. But I would just say we have great values and ideals that we operate the business on. And one of those ideals is we believe that people and our values and ideals are more important than the ego of our company leadership or our profits. So we're a people first company. We're a servant leadership company. I actually work for the closers of Capital Title and those people. I work for them. And any one of them call me, I'll be right there as soon as I can. But they know that I'm always within a phone call away of helping them solve a problem. And so we compete a little differently, and we're going to take our values and ideals and our people first mission on a nationwide basis.
Right. So you did you build up and sell it? Is that your idea? Or?
No, I've never sold anything.
Never sold anything?
No, we now, around the country club, they'll say, well, he had his liquidity event back 2 years ago, you know, Warren Buffett bought him out or so-and-so bought him out. But actually, we bought out, we create liquidity events at this point in time.
Right.
So we created 5 liquidity events for operating companies across the United States last year. We don't intend to be, why would you sell? I mean, I have no interest in selling.
Right. Okay, great.
Every day and do exactly as I please. And I can't imagine having to be accountable to someone else.
Right. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What if you, what if I saw you at a Starbucks line, you didn't know me from Adam. I know how to talk to you, Arden, which is awesome for people. Cause you to just kind of ask you a question or two is great because not many people get the opportunity to talk to somebody that's as successful as you are. I'm not, you know, just successful as you are. So if I was at a Starbucks line, they're on the way to go to TCU on the right. I forget what street that is, but you're on the right. You go to that Starbucks. You're standing there in line, Starbucks, and all of a sudden this guy comes up to you and he goes, hey, you're Bill Shattuck. And you'll say, yes, sir. Yes, I am. And he goes, hey, Mr. Shattuck, can you tell me one thing that really would – what do I need to know? Here I am. I'm 20 years old. I'm going to college. I'm going to get a business degree. And what's one thing you would tell me while you're standing there in line with me? What would you tell me to do?
I would tell you that, well, I wouldn't just say one word. It would be probably relationship or people. But I have a saying that your future business and personal success will be determined by your ability to build and maintain relationships.
Wow. Okay.
You need to get good. The whole world, as it turns out, ultimately is a meritocracy of relationship building. And if I have the relationships, I will beat you. And if you have the relationships, you will beat me, ultimately.
That's great. And I'll tell you what, if you read the book, Redneck Resilience, James Webb says the same thing. So, I mean, hey. You take it from a few successful people, man, you'll finally learn, right? So that is great. Is there any books that you read this year? Any books in particular that you read what do you read? Do you read any autobiographies or?
No, I haven't read, but I do. If you're talking to younger people, I want to tell you a couple of things. And that is I believe that each person is fully sufficient to accomplish every good and noble task that they want to accomplish. So I'm a sufficiency person, not a person who believes there's not enough. I believe there's plenty of opportunity. I believe if you're listening to this, I believe that God has a plan for your life in which you can create your ultimate success if you're willing to pay the price to get there. And I'm trying to tell you right now, you're going to have to build relationships. And I'm going to look at a group of young people, and I can tell on their faces, they're just like, that's just not who I am and what I do. And my answer is, well, it is who you are and what you do, whether you would like it to be or not. In fact, I heard a pastor, and this isn't a religious thing, but they said the whole Bible is about a call to relationship. Isn't that funny? A call to relationship. The whole Bible.
Well,
I'm telling you, business success is about a series of relationships. A marriage is a relationship. Having children is a relationship. Going to work. Success becomes part of a relationship. And you are in relationships now, whether you like it or not, and making people first, and being people first, will ultimately help each of you to create and work towards your ultimate success. Learn as much as you can about ultimate success and building relationships.
That's great. That's great. And that is awesome news. That's a great thought. You know, so did you get these relationships? Because if I live in a really small town, I don't get out of there very often. It's a little different than going to TCU and getting in the alumni club and getting involved and being nice to people. I mean, you can't go in there and just, you know, be a nice or, be nice to people, you know, the golden rule. But do you think that's where it was, TCU, SMU, Oxford, Baylor? I mean, is that where the relationships came from?
Well, let me tell you something right now. A friend of mine, Bob Bodine, wrote a book called Power of Two. And he talks about, he said, with one person, you can do this, with one friend, three friends. He said, with 12, you could change the world. Quit looking at what you can't do and can't be and start thinking about what you do have. Quit telling me about what you don't have. If you live in a small town or you're from a small town, that would be me. Let's go talk about the town and talk about you. Let's talk about not the relationships you don't have. Let's talk about the relationships you do have. Let's start thinking about the things that you don't possess in your character and talk about the strengths that you do possess in your character. So you are sufficient no matter where you are and what you're doing to create your ultimate success because building relationships, somebody you know has a relationship with somebody you need to know in order to make your next move in the relationship business.
Right.
Quit talking about what we don't have. Quit talking about how small our town is. Well, is there roads? Is there cars or telephones? Build relationships with other people. But I will tell you this. I was with Genevieve Collins, who ran for Congress, sitting there at a lunch. They were trying to raise money for a congressman. And forget this fellow's name, but it's Collins, Dick Collins, I think. And I looked at him, and his daughter was sitting up there, and I was having lunch with him. I said, I don't know how much she'll raise at this lunch, but she won't raise $1 she doesn't ask for. And I will tell you right now, the reason my business is not bigger, stronger, faster, the reason we didn't grow faster than we did, it's not twice the size, is because I didn't ask enough people and didn't build enough relationships to make it the business I wanted it to be. The reason your life is not what you want it to be is because you haven't asked enough people and you haven't built enough relationships to make it the life we want it to be. Let's start focusing on ourselves and view ourselves as people who can get it done, who do have the tools necessary to create our future success, because I believe you do. And Jay, I believe you do, and I believe I do. And I don't think that I have extraordinary abilities. I think I've just learned to appreciate the God-given values and ideals and abilities that I was given. And I've become confident in those skills and abilities. And instead of thinking about what I don't have, I've tried to use the skills I did have to create the success that I've achieved.
Well, that's great. That's powerful. That's a great, great, powerful words, Bill. Thank you so much for that. That is great. I get goosebumps thinking about that because you're right, man. People can think about the negative or think about, they can bitch about anything, but man, if you're not willing to say, hey, you know what? That's over here. I got to move forward. I got a goal in mind, and I don't care what it's going to take. I'm going to get there. I'm going to do whatever it takes. If I got to talk to 20 people or 200 people, I got to do whatever it takes to get it successful. You can do it. Anybody can be there, and anybody can do it. So that's a great thought.
Get used to failing. I used to tell people in this lecture I do. I said, if you hadn't failed, I said, I don't want you in the class. You haven't taken enough risk. What do you mean you haven't been failed? You haven't been told no. What kind of, you haven't really tried to create ultimate success unless you've failed and been told no. Because in the power of asking people, the answer is not always yes. Sometimes it's maybe, and a lot of times it's no. But you take the people that say yes and make something with it. So start failing, start making mistakes. Just go do it.
Right.
Don't let that deter you. There's more presidents in the United States in business that have filed for bankruptcy than presidents who have been in business that didn't. It's an amazing statistic.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, there's some people that are resilient, stay in there, tough it out, do whatever it takes not to do it. I mean, there's so many different decision-making processes at that time. So, Bill, I'm going to tell you what, we got to wrap it up. Is there anything else that you want to – is there anything you've been thinking about that you want to conclude with?
I want to tell you, in a famous movie, Waterboy, I don't know if you remember that, but there's an old Cajun sitting up in the stands, and he's yelling at the water boy there, and he yells, you can do it. You know, and what I want to tell everyone here today is I say you can do it. You can accomplish anything you're willing to pay the price to accomplish. Don't let anything deter you. Don't let anyone attitude develop a mindset of success. Ask people and go for it, and you will reach your ultimate success. That's it.
Wow, that's great. That is so – I can't conclude with anything else better than that. That is awesome, Bill. Thank you so much. Bill Shattuck, Shattuck Homes, Shattuck Development, title companies, everything. Go on ShattuckDevelopment.com. Learn more about Shattuck. He's going to write a book. He's got to write a book about himself. He's got to, not for him, but for everybody else to learn more about, hey, staying that successful. But great podcast, Bill. Thank you so much. I look forward to having lunch again soon with you and your son or whoever. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you so much for being on.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you.